Reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It's time now for Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartzog interview room on the former campus of the College of Emporia. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBuyAuto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, our studio engineer, Dan Courtright. Tim, good to have you back this week.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, well, I took a little trip to see family last weekend. And
sure.
So I took a Saturday off, but yeah, good to be back.
Good to have you back. Dylan made it back from Manhattan yesterday.
And going the back way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, going up to Alma and then over, construction on 177 north of Council Grove. A trip that took 20 minutes longer each way. A positive. I got Vista last night.
No, I remember we had that in Topeka. We didn't think that it was that big of a deal at the time. But I didn't. It has a great reputation outside of that. But obviously, yesterday was a pretty tough day at the office for the Emporia High School Spartans.
Yeah. I saw some different things that I did not expect from last night. Go in an I formation, have Colby Lee in the backfield as a fullback. So Coach Glinsman threw something at me that I didn't expect coming.
Sure.
And to be honest, I did not think I would see a change in formation when you're going against a team that just had a 16-game winning streak snapped, a team that is having their homecoming.
Sure.
And why do you decide to start running the ball more have been successful throwing the ball? I know with the key injuries and everything, but it was completely unexpected.
Well, if you don't have depth at a receiver position, you want to pass the football. Feels like you try something else. And then, in addition, I think, Tim, when you're playing in a game like that and you're Emporia High, you haven't won a game all year, why not try something unexpected? Mm-hmm. Well, we saw Central Oklahoma do that against Emporia State last weekend, where they come out with their second-string quarterback and this running attack and the running quarterback, and all of a sudden the guy is throwing it 50 times and he gets 350 yards. I mean, they go for over 500 yards. The turnovers and the problems that, Emporia State was great on third and fourth down, but Emporia State, Coach Doral said, here's the playbook. We're going to throw it at you and see if we can make this work. And they tried. They gave an effort, so I can understand that.
Yeah, and then we have a coach right here in our midst.
Chris Smith,
who may be able to answer this better. But as a coach, I think when you're struggling, you got to try to figure out something or find something that might work for you. And so in one way, maybe – against a team like Manhattan, it may not be the best time to try to reshuffle the deck, but I think at this point he has to try to figure out maybe what he has, maybe he saw, or maybe we'll see something that he thought, that might work against a different opponent. I mean, so I think you got to try to mix up things a little bit, particularly when you're struggling. and you're just trying to find something that might work.
Chris Schmidt, the OLPI athletic director, football coach, and boys basketball coach, is also in studio with us. He'll join us next segment to talk about OLPI. Had a big win over Northern Heights yesterday. We'll also be joined by Jean Ping Wong, the head volleyball coach for Emporia High School. She'll be joining us in the third segment just before Mitch Holtis. The Emporia High volleyball team has been incredible. They had a 13-match winning streak. 14-match winning streak snapped at Ottawa, against Ottawa in a best-3-of-5 earlier this week. But they are in action today. Just as we get off the air at 9, they'll be up back in Manhattan, your neck of the woods where you came from yesterday. They'll be back up there for the Centennial League tournament. They're in the top 10 in Class 5A. And Dylan, I think it's safe to say that with the competition, the level of competition they'll be playing today, they're going to learn something about themselves today. If they play well up there, I think that they'll be widely regarded as one of the favorites to get to state out of 5A.
Yeah, and this is a team that's playing with a lot of heart, a lot of emotion. You know, Allie Hess was someone that was important to the program, and they're playing for the Hess family. Allie was a contributor last year. Passed away unexpectedly in February, and they have the initials AHH on several of their jersey combinations, and it's a lot of these girls played with her, and it's an emotional thing that they're playing for her, and you know, when you're playing for someone and you want to dedicate the season to someone, it's awfully special. And I think everyone was very shocked when it happened in February. I was completely shocked. It happened right before senior night in basketball, and it just seemed like everything just kind of took a turn and everyone got behind. And, the community, $8,800 to the Allie Hess Memorial Fund. They did a check presentation on Monday night.
Sure.
And got that to the Hess family, and it was just very fantastic to see how the Emporia community has gotten behind with everything that has surfaced over the past half year.
Well, and you certainly hope that they'll be able to continue their success, but a couple of really good teams that they're facing today. But it was great to get Coach Wong in here to talk about that yesterday before they left. So they will get started here in about half an hour. Before we bring on Chris Schmidt, the OLPI AD, he is joining us next out of our area group of coaches after they beat Northern Heights 60-0. And I guess he really doesn't even have an off time of the year, because when you're AD, but then you got to coach football, then you got to coach boys basketball. So we'll talk to him about how he keeps his head above all that. But it's time now to name our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. We've got one for Emporia High and one from the area, Dylan.
Yep. I have three nominations for Emporia High. Let's go with the nominations, but I got this selected already. Couple of honorable mention nominations: Ella Fessler shot a career best 78 at Shawnee Heights on Thursday, was second. Micah Sheffy Harris won the Winfield Invitational on Thursday.
That was in cross country.
Yep. But we're going to the Emporia volleyball team. Alexa Shively, has had a good career so far for Coach Ping. On Thursday night, recorded her 1,000th career assist, and part of a really strong senior bunch.
She's not a natural setter, she told us. She's only been setting for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
To get to 1,000 is unbelievable.
Yeah,
to be honest.
So, and AJ, solid on the basketball court, and is a jumper in track and field. So, AJ's, I got to know AJ the last couple of years, and I got to know her family, and she got a little brother that's a sophomore that plays baseball, basketball, Maddox. So Alexa Shively is our Emporia Main Street Emporia High Athlete of the Week.
And then the Area Athlete of the Week.
Well, we're going back to Chase County with this one. Derek Buckey sent me stats. Wyatt Griffin was our choice last week, but we're going to go with Brock Griffin this week. Last night against Maranatha Academy, had 196 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns in a 58-0 victory over Maranatha Academy. They have won 4 straight, and they have a big one coming up, which will be our area game of the week next Friday as they get Linden.
Yes, and that game will be on Mix 104.9 due to Kansas State. So, Michael Deeker, you'll have a new frequency for him. So, congratulations to Alexa Shively and Brock Griffin, our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. And as a reminder, if you've got an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of Dylan, SherwoodD at KVOE.com. That's SherwoodD at KVOE.com. Let's go ahead and take a break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. When we come back, we're talking with the Opie Athletic Director. His team just beat Northern Heights 60-0 yesterday. Chris Schmidt is up early with us. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE Live and Local.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at EmporiaMainStreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
At Longbine Auto Plaza, it's Chevy truck season, and that means great offers on new Chevy trucks that are perfect for your hard-working jobs. Truck season offers on new 2023 Chevy trucks, like over $5,000 MSRP on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT 2.7-liter crew cab. Or get financing as low as 0% and $1,750 total rebates. Or get an all-new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS for only $489 per month, 36-month lease. And with all the fun fall activities, let our certified technicians keep your vehicle in top-running shape for those fall road trips and school activities. Chevy's truck season is the time for incredible savings on new Chevy models. So come see us today or visit our website 24-7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy. Find new roads. 489 payments based on 36-month lease with tax fees and first payment due at closing with approved credit.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. With the first month of the college football season in the books, today we salute two women who made history last weekend on the gridiron. First up is Haley Van Voorhis, a junior safety for Division III Shenandoah University in Virginia. In the Hornets game against Juniata College, she became the first woman to appear in an NCAA football game at a position other than kicker. Voorhis entered the game in the first quarter and immediately pressured Juniata's quarterback, leading to an incompletion. Also making history last week was kicker Leilani Armenta, who became the first female to suit up for Jackson State. The freshman, who was a member of the women's soccer team, was added to the football roster due to injuries. She kicked off for the Tigers in their win over Bethune-Cookman. More madness for you in March. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Wendy's has changed the burger game with their new loaded nacho cheeseburger. How, you might ask? Well, here's a few cheesy reasons. It starts with a fresh, never-frozen beef patty, protected by 2 layers of melty American cheese, crunchy tortilla strips, then, wait for it, creamy queso. Cheese-wise, I mean choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new loaded nacho cheeseburger.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Details for the newly created 32-team Women's Basketball Invitation Tournament. The first installment of the WBIT will be held in 2024 with the semifinals and championship game being held at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Combined with the 68-team championship, there will now be 100 postseason opportunities for Division I women's basketball teams. And you can hear the semifinals and championship of the WBIT right here on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. We'll be joined by Coach Wong, a head volleyball coach at Emporia High School, in just a few minutes. And then Mitch Holtis will break down the Chiefs game coming up this weekend on Sunday Night Football. But in studio, pleased to be joined by the athletic director of Opie High School, also the football coach, basketball coach. his OP team with a 60-0 win over Northern Heights last night. Chris Schmidt, waking up early. Coach Schmidt, thanks so much for the time.
You bet. Thanks for having me in.
Well, obviously, a 60-0 win have to have slept pretty good last night with your team winning like that. What was the key to the victory, and why do you think your team played so well?
Well, I think part of it is we got off to a good start. We really haven't had very good starts in games this year, and we start off the kickoff return right off the bat, first play of the game, and then we got a 3-and-out and took the punt back for a touchdown. So back-to-back special teams play. So that kind of got us going. And, I thought we did some good things as we progressed. Got to play a lot of kids, and that's always good. We're playing some young kids anyway. So, a good overall win.
Well, and you guys fell twice in the first couple of weeks. You lost to what I believe people think is a good Hayden team, and falling at Osage City, how impressed are you with your team's ability to come back from some of that adversity and then put these two wins against Pleasanton and Northern Heights back-to-back together?
I'm proud of the kids. Going in, we knew that the first part of our schedule was going to be tough, but that's good because we knew right away we'd find out what we got to get better at. The biggest thing is trying to get out of there without injuries, which we took on a couple of those. But overall, these kids are progressing each and every week, and that's what our goal is, to continue that for 4 or 5 more weeks and see what we can do.
You always like to schedule tough, Chris. I know that you guys are competitors. but what does it mean to get tested early? Because that helps you guys in the postseason.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get a Hayden right off the bat. And you know immediately after that game what we got to get better at. And so we worked on that. And then we go to Bishop Ward the following week, which is a little different type of what they wanted to do. And we fell behind, I believe, 28-12, and came back and won that game, which was a big confidence builder for especially some of our younger kids. And then you go with Osage City, who's a solid program, played them over and over every year, try to play each year. Nothing negative comes out of that. At that time, the wins and losses really, they matter, but they don't matter for the postseason part of it. So it's important for us, and I think the kids approach it the right way.
You mentioned you're playing younger kids. Where have you seen growth at this point?
Well, the first thing about our younger kids is they're pretty knowledgeable kids, Tim. And so it's like we didn't have kids that we had to teach a whole bunch of stuff to. Our line probably has the most experience back, but we have two or three kids on that line that now, younger kids that have kind of developed and caught up a little bit. And our backfield, right now we're starting two freshmen in our backfield. So they've had to learn from some of the older kids. We started some older kids in those spots, but now we've made some changes, a couple injuries and that kind of thing. Again, every day we go to practice, and then obviously on Friday nights you're seeing some improvement. You're seeing confidence built these last couple of weeks. And so that's good to see, and hopefully you can continue to build it.
Chris Schmidt is our guest. He is the athletic director at Olpe, also the head football coach and the basketball coach. I wanted to ask you, while we have you on as the athletic director, talk a little bit about what else is going on at Olpe with the Eagles. Looks like your volleyball team is 11-12 on the season. Talk about what they have done and how volleyball is going for the Eagles.
They're up and down a little bit. They've had a couple tournaments, so they've done really well. We just hosted a tournament last week, which they finished 2-3, but they had very good competition. I think it's going to be an advantage for us come down the stretch. They're kind of in their league schedule. They lost to Lebo, who is ranked in 1A, they won state last year, so a very good quality team. And we got two or three other league schools that are very competitive with us. So this team is coming along. I see them as progressing here the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I think they'll be playing good ball when it comes postseason time.
Chris, and you got some good cross-country runners, especially Caleb Arnold, he had a couple medals at state track last year, and he's been able to win a couple races this year. And the cross-country program, has had some success the last couple of years with individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had a hard time getting enough to have teams, but this year we actually have five boys, so we do have a team. Caleb's the leader on that. I feel that he's worked extremely hard. He does so much work off season. He's one of those kids that he kind of, the people around here know Kyler True, obviously.
Yep.
And Kyler's kind of taken him under the wing. He's done some things with Kyler during the summertime and that kind of thing, and Trayson also. So that's very appreciative. And he looks up to those guys, and he knows what they did to be where get to where they wanted to be. So he's got high hopes.
Well, you were the head of AD, the head of football coach, the head of head basketball coach. Is there a time where you can see yourself maybe at least maybe getting rid of one of those hats, or do you love just being as busy as you are?
I enjoy it, Tim. You know, obviously there's times where I'm saying, why am I in all this? And I'm sure my family is saying the same thing. But, you know, I'm there for kids, and all those things are made to work with kids and get kids involved and get kids doing. And I would not do all those things if I didn't have a great support system, not only at home but at school, administration, that kind of thing. I don't think anybody could do those things if they didn't have good support around them. And I've been very fortunate for many, many years to have great support, great assistant coaches, and every, you know, like yesterday I put out an email about I needed some gate workers, and I had some staff members step up and take those. I had one had to step away from last night's game. And somebody, I actually had three people come and say, hey, I'll take that spot if you need somebody. So that's what makes it roll.
Sure.
And that's what makes, I think, our school pretty special is it's a family and it's a community that's totally involved.
Chris Schmidt, OP Athletic Director, joins us. You talk about being able to do all that. When do you try to get your downtime? Because obviously, you know, just because you're not coaching in the spring doesn't mean that you don't have responsibilities in the spring as athletic director.
Yeah, actually, spring is the biggest time for athletic directors because you're trying to get everything set for the following year.
Sure.
So, you know, I take time to, you know, I get away. I do, my wife said, well, you're still at school. I do a lot of mowing. I mow around the school. Like, I'm probably going to do a little bit of that today, even though it's not been a whole bunch of mowing lately. But I feel like I get away. You know, my kids are grown up, and they're in coaching and teaching too. So, you know, all of us kind of have things to do. But we get together on evenings. Sometimes the boys will stop by and have supper and that kind of thing. So, but again, I love being around kids. So that's a pause.
Hey, Chris, I know this came to us yesterday, but the guy that you assessed as football coach at Opie, you know, Mike Plunkett going into the ESU Hall of Honor. You know, that's got to be something special as someone that's been a part of your life and that helped you get into coaching.
Absolutely. Mike's a special person to me. You know, he was my head coach in high school. And then once I got out and come to Emporia State, basically I think it was my sophomore year up here, he offered, there was a position open, and to take on an assistant football job there on there at Opie. And he welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, that kind of started everything. I worked with him I was assistant under him for 16 years. And then when he decided to retire, he basically came to me and said, I think you're ready to take the head coaching job, which meant a lot to me. And he coached basketball for a couple years before I took the head job there too. So Mike's a special person to me. He deserves all those accolades because he's a great individual, and he did so much for our school and our kids.
Chris, I did have one more question for you. We see Northern Heights will become an 8-man football team moving forward. I'm just curious for you moving forward in terms of scheduling. It just makes it a little more difficult to find other 11-man teams to play. And fortunately, I know off air you were talking about, fortunately you've secured some things, but moving forward, do you see that potentially being a problem?
Yeah, it is every 2 years, Tim, to be honest with you. You know, obviously, I would be in favor of the state setting our whole schedule. I've told them for years that'd be great. You know, right now we think we're going to be in a 6-team district the next 2 years, so that takes five of our 8 games that we have to schedule, because week 9 basically is a playoff game for us.
Yeah.
So in that regard, you got to go out and try to find three games. And like I said earlier, I think I'm in a good position right now, but this is the first time in a long time that I'm going to go to the meeting feeling like I have some games scheduled. So it's sometimes very difficult because of other – all the other area schools that play 11-man have leagues, and they have to be obligated to their league teams, and that's totally understandable. So we're kind of like a Notre Dame, I guess you said, it used to be kind of an independent. So it's difficult, but sometimes we get some bigger schools. But like I said, in the long run, that's a good thing for us. So we just try to fill it up.
OP is 3-2 on the year. Their only losses have come to bigger schools. Hayden, which still blows my mind. I played against them when they were a 4A, so for them to be a 3A is insane to me. And Osage City, a 2A team, and both those teams have winning records. Next up for the Eagles is Caney Valley coming up next week. Then they'll wrap up the season with Jayhawk Lynn and Central Heights. Best of luck to you. Thanks so much for your time, Coach Schmidt. Really appreciate it.
You bet. I appreciate you guys having us in, and anytime I can support Opie, that I will, because it's very deserving.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. Coming up next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com, our interview with Jumping Wong, the head volleyball coach at Emporia High School. That is next here on KVOE. We're live and local.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
At Longbine Auto Plaza, it's Chevy truck season, and that means great offers on new Chevy trucks that are perfect for your hardworking jobs. Truck season offers on new 2023 Chevy trucks, like over $5,000 MSRP on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT 2.7-liter crew cab. Or get financing as low as 0% and $1,750 total rebates. Or get an all-new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS for only $489 per month, 36-month lease. And with all the fun fall activities, let our certified technicians keep your vehicle in top-running shape for those fall road trips and school activities. Chevy's truck season is the time for incredible savings on new Chevy models. So come see us today or visit our website 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy. Find new roads. $489 payments based on 36-month lease with tax fees and first payment due at closing with approved credit.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union's convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Covering the Spartans here this morning with Emporia High School Volleyball. The Lady Spartans have had a tremendous start to the season. In fact, a huge winning streak. They couldn't quite keep it going on Thursday in a 5-set loss to Ottawa, but just before they headed up to the Centennial League tournament, that starts today at 9 a.m., Jumping Wong joined us. She's the head volleyball coach at Emporia High School. Well, Coach, thanks so much for joining us here on this Friday as we get set for you to head up to Manhattan. 5-set loss on Thursday. We talked just before, you Dylan and I, would have been great to have you on, celebrate the winning streak, but still, I mean, you guys are 17-2. You're playing such great volleyball right now. First of all, congratulations. Did you think coming into the season, did you expect this out of this group, that you guys were going to be playing this well this early?
Not really. I mean, I know we would be good if we all work hard or work together, because I do have 6 seniors that make difference. I only lost 1 starter from last year, so most starters are coming back. So I knew we would be good if we all play together.
Coach, this is a special group that you have. You know, you mentioned the six seniors. They've been playing a lot of volleyball, and of course, a lot of them play basketball as well. And of course, you know, they're playing for a lot this year with Allie. You know, they have the AHH on their one of their sides of their uniform. But this group is they're really playing for someone special that was a part of this program not too long ago.
Yeah, that's right. Such a special group. I know all the seniors when they were probably in fifth grade, and that is a such athletic group. And they play together since they're probably younger than that, volleyball and basketball. And they just know each other. They support each other, which is big, big help.
Talking with Coach Wong. She's the head volleyball coach at Emporia High School. They are in action today. Literally as soon as we get off the air for Saturday Morning Sports Talk, they'll be playing their first match at the Centennial League Tournament hosted by Manhattan. Coach, you really turned things around in that third set, and it's so much different playing best three out of five versus the two out of three that you normally would play at a triangular or a quadrangular. How did this get set up for this three out of five match against Ottawa? And did it change the way that you prepped the team or coached in that match?
No. I was expecting we start the same way we played everybody else. But obviously it didn't go our way. After we switched aside on the beginning of the third set, I told them, I said, you're lucky today we play five sets because you have a chance, you know, to come back. I think they, something in their heads just turned on, maybe like, oh, this is our last chance. You know, if we don't start playing, then we're done. So, yeah, we did great third and fourth sets. That's normally the way we play. Yeah.
Coach, I was standing on the baseline for about the entire match. You know, I was out there for the entire match. But right before that third set, I remember in your huddle you were praising, like, defense, and you knew defense was going to be big. You know, how big was, you know, the defensive adjustments that the girls made, you know, going into set three and then forcing set four and then eventually forcing the fifth set?
You know, I always tell them defense win the game. I don't know any other sports, but volleyball, definitely. If you pick up a hard swing, the momentum will just come back. So I told them, play defense, because I do have haters. You know, when the ball is up, the setter can get the ball up, and somebody will put it away. So we've been playing good defense since day one this year. I think that's our strength.
Well, you mentioned that you know, if you can get the ball up, you've got a good setter, and Alexa Shively goes for 1,000 assists in her career. Obviously, you would have loved to have celebrated that with a win, but certainly that's a testament to just her presence and your program over the last 3 or 4 years. What makes her the right person? And I know from covering volleyball previously, you know, the setter is kind of the quarterback of the team and the leader of the team and kind of has to be. What makes her such a good leader for your offense?
To be honest, she is not a true setter. I don't know if she wants to hear this. She is actually a true libero. She is really a heck of a player. Yes. Last year, her junior year, was her first year on varsity, starting the sets, I think, assists. I think she started to set in high school as a freshman. Freshman, sophomore, she set. But she plays libero for a club. Only season and a half, she had 1,000. That's pretty incredible.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. Yes. Coach, let's talk about your seniors, you know, AJ, Alexa Shively. You know, I call her AJ whenever a lot of times last year when I was calling her on the basketball court. But you have a good senior class. You have, you have Addie Kermer and Taylor Cunningham don't really play much but get in from time to time. Kyla Herfkin's coming back from the injury which she suffered in last season. You have Lexi DeWitt back. You know, she's your defensive specialist. I'm trying to remember who else. I know I'm missing somebody.
I think that's it.
I think I'm pretty good at that. But
what's your question?
But you know, mention about all these seniors and doing the making the their great contributions.
Oh, you're missing Ryan. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, Lil Peek, Ryan Peek. That's I was trying to think. It was someone that was a multi-sport athlete, but of course, you know, Ryan Peek. You know, she's been good for you guys as well this year too. So, you know, just what does the senior class mean? Knowing that they want to accomplish even more, knowing that they were one win away from state.
Like I said before, this is such athletic group. And they're just competitive. They want to win. And yeah, in all the sports they've been in, I guess when your senior year is more special because you always want to make something happen when your senior year, because this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't make anything happen, I'm done. So I think they wanted it so badly. I remember, I think it was Lexi in the huddle. She said, "Let's go. We want this." Like in my mind, I'm like, I need somebody like that, you know, to say it, to step up.
Hing Wong's my guest, and she is on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. As soon as the show is done, they are at the Centennial League Tournament up in Manhattan for a 9 a.m. start today, 17-2. As you look at some of the opponents you're going to be facing up there in the Centennial League Tournament, who do you look at as being the top competition and the kind of the teams that you expect to be facing if you're playing well and hopefully playing for a Centennial League Tournament today?
Washburn Rural, Manhattan, and even Hayden. We beat them last time in three. It wasn't an easy game. So I would say Topeka High, we're confident. Junction City, we're confident. The other three, we just need to play.
Well, and you know, Washburn Rural, that's been a program that has been at the top for a long time, that has done it in both volleyball, women's basketball, the Junior Blues. What has made them so consistently good for so many of these years?
It's such good tradition sport for that school. I know Coach Bordwick. He's been there for a long time. He coaches basketball and volleyball. Such great coach. Actually, my older daughter played for him when she was 10 for the club team, and I really like him. He knows the game. I think the Washburn Rural is a big school. They have more kids, I guess. Their middle school is doing good in volleyball or even basketball. When they go up, they just fit right in for their culture.
Coach, as you mentioned, with the Centennial League Tournament, you're going back to Manhattan on Monday. You're going to see them again, and then you're going to see Salina Central, who you've seen already. And then next week, you're going to face Hillsboro and Great Bend. Hillsboro, you know, has been tradition-rich as of late, competing for state championships in 2A. And Great Bend, they are an improved team, and I believe they have one loss. These have got to be good tests for you guys, because right now you're at a good position to see a lot of this great competition as you get ready for the postseason coming up in a couple weeks. And plus, not to mention, you have a really great home tournament coming up on the 14th of October.
Yes. I really hope last night gave us some motivation, you know, because coming in to play the league tournament, turn around, like you said, next week it's going to be all good competitions. So I hope they're ready to play some good volleyball games.
Well, last one for you, Coach. We're talking with Ping Wong as the Emporia High School Lady Spartans get set to travel up to Manhattan for the Centennial League Tournament. I see in studio here you are wearing your State 2021 shirt. And I know last year you guys were really close to getting another one. What does this team need to do to punch their ticket to get back to state for 2023? What are you looking to see out of them over the next couple of weeks to make that happen?
They just need to keep their composure when they play and just go out for have fun, play their game.
Ping Wong again, Emporia High School at the Centennial League Tournament, 9 o'clock today, just as soon as we get done with the show. They are 17-2 on the year. Congratulations. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com, and the phone just now ringing in the studio, and I believe that's probably going to be our final guest for the show here today. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood on with you, and Dan Courtright, our studio engineer today, as I believe that that is the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtus. And, of course, Mitch appears on the show every week, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226, and Mitch, as always, appears on the Sutherland Home Improvement studio line. Mitch, how are you this weekend?
Wow, again, you're nailing that read, buddy.
I appreciate it.
You're the 2022 rookie class. You're George Karloftis.
Yeah.
Sorry, maybe you're King Felix. I think you're George Karloftis right now. Yeah, well done. As long as Tim's wife approves, she's the teacher. She's the heart grader.
That's right. That's right. She's the grader, and there's no curve. So.
Ask Tim. It's every phase of his life.
Oh, boy. Yeah. No doubt there. No doubt. Well,
yep.
Mitch,
C-. C-.
Sure.
Well, I just want to dive in with what I think is the most important question from last week, and that is, did you get a chance to meet Taylor Swift?
Of course.
I didn't. You know, they had the little hoo-ha after the game. Yeah, I know. I was crushed. and I was outside the window of that restaurant just scraping on the window and took a squeegee and was trying to get their attention. And that's when I felt the taser.
That's right.
Well, you would think, with all the years of you building Travis Kelce's career, that you had at least been introduced. I'm a little bit hurt for you, man.
You know what? I think if I would have asked Kelce or would have cared that much, I think he would have let me.
I think so.
I bet so.
Yeah, I was talking to a bunch of the guys. I didn't actually get to see Kelce this week. I saw him down the hallway. It's like he always go, the boys. And I'll go, Kel. It's about the end of the conversation. But usually we'll talk or something, you know, bump into him during the week. But I didn't, because I was going to, like, man, no invite? And he's like, oh, I forgot or something. But, you know what? It's okay. I lose sleep over a lot of things. I haven't lost any sleep at all over the fact that I didn't get invited to the Kelce Taylor Swift postgame show.
Sure. Blake, Tim, and Dylan with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtus. Last week, in terms of the game, boy, the Bears simply did not provide much resistance. But Chiefs, you know, Mitch, the Chiefs, probably going into that game, if you believe that the Chiefs are going to be the type of team that we've talked about them being this year, that probably should have been dominant in that game, and they sure looked dominant as I watched the game.
Well, they're still, I mean, the Bears aren't very good, and I'm not sure where they're going to win a game, truthfully. They'll get somebody. Hopefully they get the Broncos tomorrow. That'd be fun. The best thing, there are some things to extract from this game. One was the fact that all three phases got to take a really big bite out of it. And it wasn't just, hey, the defense saved the day, or the offense here carried the team, or special teams, they were good too. They were. I mean, to get Washington, who nobody knows, except, hey, he was the Broncos returner last year for 3/4 of the year, but he gets a 23-yard return, and then Tommy Townsend has an awesome 55-yard punt that takes a right turn at the 3. That kind of started the whole thing. But then the offense and the receivers in particular, to know where to go. A lot of zone played by the Bears. To know where to go, how to adjust the route, and be in the right spot at the right time for Patrick was probably the biggest thing offensively to take from that game, that the run game got going. But then the defense continuing its dominance. I was just kind of mad that the Bears got those garbage 10 points at the end. Because that was a 48-0 game, and it should have been that way. But that's okay. There's a lot to take out of that positively, and you hope that bounces into tomorrow night.
Mitch, I know you told us last week, you said the magic number was 30, and the Chiefs did that in the first half. I guess you didn't expect that like I did watching the game in Arrowhead last Sunday.
Yeah, so I went and hung out with Taylor since the game was over. I thought, yeah, did you write "You Belong With Me," or is it? So I didn't
go
back and look at all these Taylor Swift songs. Yeah, and I know you're a Swiftie, Dylan, so that's awesome.
Well,
but yeah, to take care of business was big. We've seen a lot of times the Chiefs have kind of mud around with these games, and but they're just like no, and just squash them like a trash compactor, and then move on was actually a good thing to see, and the fact that everybody did get a piece of it.
Mitch Holthus is the voice of the Chiefs joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. One thing that I think that many Chiefs fans have probably been frustrated over, and Coach Reed has mentioned his frustration in a different way, have been the penalties, particularly as it regards to Jawan Taylor. There was one that led to an extra play, and then Patrick Mahomes' ankle gets stepped on, and we're like, oh, my gosh. But, of course, Mahomes is fine because he just seems like he's always fine when he gets dinged up. But I know that Coach Reed had said that, you know, the first week, yeah, probably deserved those calls, but now possibly, you know, maybe getting looked at and treated maybe differently than some other tackles in the league. Where do you think the Chiefs are in terms of solving those penalty problems, one of which took a touchdown off the board? Obviously doesn't matter against the Bears, but maybe it does matter against a better team.
Well, let's don't forget a 50-yard touchdown got taken off the board. I mean, there's your 48.
Yeah.
And MBS is like, what? I don't get this. But where we're at on it is I've seen progression since that kind of week one debacle or the Jacksonville where they're starting to call him and he's up on the post office wall for all of the officials to see that it has improved. And now, and I think that's why Coach, which was a little bit out of his character to go that far, really wanted to make his point. And I think he's made his point. Now, you've touched on the very crux of the matter, though, tomorrow night. Let's talk about present tense here and
sure.
What this means. The biggest issue in this game tomorrow night against the New York Green Airplanes is that you must stay ahead of the chains. Now, I don't care if you're Emporia High or you're Olpe or you're Northern Heights. I know, and yes, you've got to stay ahead of the chains. I get it. I mean, that's the football vernacular. Stay ahead of the chains is, you know, have less than 10 yards to go for the necessary 10 yards for a first down. The penalties, which have been at times oppressive, but it's also against the Jets in negative plays or sacks, negative runs, I should say, or sacks. The Bills got behind the chains 7 possessions out of 11 in that week one loss. And all 3 Josh Allen interceptions were when they were behind the chains, 2nd and 14, 3rd and 11. 1st and 15. And you cannot afford to do that tomorrow night if you're the Chiefs. So you ask me, how's it going? I think it's going fine, but it better go a whole lot better against the Jets or the Chiefs could find themselves in a problem.
Mitch, I just want to get back to the defense and throw some names out to you, guys who I think, man, they've been playing really well. You know, Mike Dana, who I think sometimes gets underappreciated. Trent McDuffie, who I think is turning into a star right before our eyes. And then Drew Tranquil, what a great pickup, particularly in the absence of Nick Bolton. He's been a real key ingredient for that defense.
I think you've nailed it with those 3. Because we know about Chris Jones. Felix Anudike-Uzomah is not far behind. He's coming up the rail because every week he plays better. Every game he's graded better than the game before, and that's a good thing to see. But the 3 you mentioned, I think, deserve special mention. Mike Danis might be the most underrated guy in this whole team. If you look back and watch the video, you're going, oh, my gosh, he made a great play here. And he can influence the game whether he gets a sack or not. He's really good at Spags, Hammond to play him outside or inside because he can play the run. He can play 2-gap inside, or he's got enough explosion to create pass rush either inside or outside. McDuffie is exactly. Your words are well put. He's turning into a star. He just has had that elusive interception. He just has, that's the one thing he is not got yet, but he's finding the ball. I mean, his 2 forced fumbles this year are big time, and he is such a good tackler. And then that leads to Tranquil, what this team has done, and I know it sounds like seventh grade, first day at Lebo football practice, is that this team tackles well. Right now they are tackling, knock on my forehead and knock on wood, they are an excellent tackling team, front to back. And you say, well, gosh, isn't everybody? No. In fact, the NFL has a problem with consistent tackling because of the offense's skills and schemes being so good. The two just don't work on it. You're not doing live tackling at all, even in camp. And so these guys have been great. McDuffie tackles and Tranquil tackles and Dana tackles and UDK Uzama tackles. I mean, they just don't miss many. And the safeties tackle, and you'll see a lot of three safety and maybe four safety look tomorrow night. And so all that's working.
Mitch, do you feel like Clyde Edwards-Helaire has gotten a little more confidence now, you know, being able to run the ball? I know with Pacheco with the abdomen injury, and I know with Jarrett McKinnon being able to make an impact with two scores last week. You feel like CEH is getting some more confidence back to where he was a couple years ago?
Excellent question, because I'm glad the Kingdom doesn't want to talk much about CEH. He's just kind of, you know, what are we going to do with him? And like, he was a first-round pick, but he's not running for 1,200 yards, so he must be a dud. Well, he's hung in there. You know, he was crushed last year when he was inactive for Super Bowl 57. So he could have tanked it or, you know, pitched a fit or said, I got to get traded or moaned and groaned. He hasn't done that. He's just stayed the course. Now, these three running backs, I almost wish Steve Satter was here this morning because he would like this analogy. And you guys, Emporia has such good wrestling that don't they remind you of like a wrestling team? Like if you look at them, like, I don't know all the weights, but like, you look at Clyde and you're like, ooh, that's a one good 138. Like he does what he does is a little bit different than what Jet McKinnon does or what Pacheco does. And then you look at Jet and he's like the 119, right? He's a guy, he's a state champion at 119. He's so fast and quick and has a, you know, instinctive. And then you see Pacheco and he's like the 185, right? He's going to bring you a little more power, but he's not like he is athletic. He's not like he's unathletic. It's a double negative. Sorry. I get marked down in class. But the point is, they all do something a little different. And Clyde brings something to the table here in this wrestling room that is the running back room that can lead to us winning the state championship in wrestling.
Mitch, I think some of the intriguing things to watch, or one of the intriguing things to watch, is the red zone. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but we have two teams here. You look at the Jets defensively, very good in the red zone. They've given up a lot of long drives, but they did. You know, they don't break. I mean, I think they're fifth in red zone defense in the league. The Chiefs are third in red zone offense in the league. So I guess something has to give tomorrow night.
You're awesome when you do your homework, and you're dangerous. And I'm going to tell your wife that's at least a B+. Before I go to New York, if you give him a C for this show, and I'm taking you to the school board.
Tough grading, jeez.
Well, it's really good. It's almost an A, but you're dead on. This Jets defense is legit, and the fact that they clamp down in the red zone reminds you of Spags' defenses of the last three seasons. Yards, they're 24th in total defense. Well, it doesn't matter what scoring defense and what are they in the red zone. Right now, the Chiefs defense, the base subjects, when we're talking here on school, like the math, science, and English, for defenses in the NFL, of course, are third down, red zone, and scoring defense. That's basically what you look at first and foremost. And if you don't look at anything else, look at that. And the fact that the Chiefs are top four now in all three of the base subjects is a stratosphere where the Chiefs have not been. You're almost going back to the Marty days. But the fact that, yes, both of these teams are excellent red zone defensive teams is something going into this game. Now, the Jets have the personnel to do it, because when you get in the red zone, Tim, you're playing arena football. It's no longer a 120-yard field with the two end zones being 100 plus 10 plus 10. You're basically looking at a 30-yard field. And that means you have to execute plays vertically, which you don't have a lot of vertical room, and then horizontally. When the Chiefs have been the best, they will attack you horizontally. Think of all the jet sweeps and then trying to attack pylons. Well, the Jets take that stuff away because of their quickness and athletic ability, especially in the secondary. So, yes, second thing, other than, one, stay ahead of the chains. If you're not ahead of the chains in this game, the Chiefs could get beat. Two, what are you going to get done in the red zone? Because right now the Chiefs are on fire in the red zone. They've scored touchdowns in 7 of the last 9 possessions in that red area.
It's the Chiefs and the Jets on Sunday Night Football, 7:20 kickoff. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock on your home for the Chiefs all season long at Emporia Country, 101.7. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, joins us every Saturday. Brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Mitch, always great to have you on. Have a great rest of your weekend. Look forward to hearing you tomorrow night. Have a great call.
Hey, thank you, guys. And honestly, this Jets secondary might be one of the top 3 or 4 the Chiefs face all season long. Sauce Gardner's for real. DJ Reed, the K-State kid, is flourishing in this system. He followed Robert Saleh from San Francisco to New York. He is killing it. Jordan Whitehead tormented us in Super Bowl 55. All the stuff you just guys have laid out is big time, especially with the secondary.
Now, that's something that we'll definitely be watching, that is for sure. Mitch, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
See you, guys.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And I do think that, you know, you look at the secondaries that the Chiefs have played this year, I don't think that Patrick Mahomes believes that the offense that the Chiefs put out there on the field those first 2 weeks was really indicative of the kind of offense that they've got the capability of being this year. I think now he has said, hey, we've kind of figured it out. Now, how much have they figured it out when you've played the Bears? You know, do you really know anything about you after beating the Bears? Does that even count? That's kind of like, you know, well, we were talking, you and I, about who should schedule who in high school football. That's kind of what that's like. You know, it's like a 6A team and you're scheduling an 8-man team. That's how bad the Bears feel like right now.
Right, right.
So how much do you know? I guess we're going to find out on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch, Jets secondary is just incredible. And yes, you got a guy like Quinton Williams up front. I mean, this Jets defense is certainly legit offensively, obviously, is where they have struggled mightily, particularly at the quarterback spot. It's no secret Zach Wilson has not been good. But, God, they got weapons there. If they can just get some quarterback play. Wilson's a dynamic wide receiver. Local kid, Breece Hall, running back. I mean, they've got talent. It's just getting better play out of the quarterback spot.
You can still say Breece Hall played against Emporia High, Tim, back in 2018.
Sure did.
At Wichita Northwest.
Unfortunately.
Right before he goes off to Iowa State.
Yeah, I was down in Wichita at that time. I bet that was a tough day at the office for the old Spartans.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, there were a lot of City League schools that they had some trouble tackling Breece Hall as well. That was in the midst of a really, really good period. And Wichita Northwest is still really good. But
They put 70 on the board against Topeka High last night.
Yeah. Woo. Wichita Northwest, I think they're the cream of the crop in the Greater Wichita Athletic League now. Upcoming games today. There's a lot of them. KU versus Texas, top 25 game.
No, we're talking about that one.
I know. Last ever meeting as conference foes, 2:30 kickoff. That'll be on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Chiefs and Jets, as we just mentioned, Sunday Night Football. Country 101.7 coverage, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Royals Yankees season finale, 2:10 first pitch on Sunday, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Monday Night Football, we'll have Giants Seahawks, 7:15 kickoff on KVOE. And, of course, the Hornets and the Griffins, 3 o'clock, RV Doc pregame show. Kickoff at 4 on Mix 104.9. Listen online at kvoe.com/listen. A big matchup to look for in this game is the offensive line of Emporia State, which is first in the league in sacks allowed and top 10 in the country, against a Griffin defensive line that is first in the league in sacks and tackles for loss and top 10 in the country. So that's kind of your big match, as far as I see it, in this game. It's Griffin's homecoming. Their only loss is to what is now a top 25 Mule team from Central Missouri against a Hornet team that is, you know, kind of thinking of themselves as being a contender for the MIAA championship. We're going to find out a lot about this Hornet team coming up today.
Great test.
Yeah, yes, it is. And I don't think – and Pittsburg State's on the schedule next week.
Gotta get through.
I don't get – I don't get the sense, you know, sometimes they're looking ahead and all that. Just from talking to the guys and talking to Coach this week, I don't think there's a single person on the Hornet associated with the Hornets, and I haven't either, that's looking ahead to next week. I think that they believe that this Griffin team is dangerous and good. Two running backs that average over 5 yards per carry.
I think Braden Gleason said it last week to you that they weren't looking ahead heading into UCO.
No.
Because you knew that they wanted to get that bad taste out of their mouth against the Broncos last year, because they lost in Edmond last year, and then Coach Higgins gets his first win over Adam Doral too. So,
and I think that that's the sign of the mature team that Coach Higgins has. So that is it for this weekend.
And catch her off, right? Bye week. K-State's a bye week.
Yes,
right?
You are correct. Yes, Wildcats are off. They'll be back on Friday playing Oklahoma State on Country 101.7, so our area game next week will be over on The Mix. So that is how it all shakes out for the weekend. Thank you very much to our studio engineer, Dan Courtright. Also to Chris Schmidt, Coach Jianping Wong, the Emporia High volleyball team just getting started at the Centennial League Tournament. And, of course, we always appreciate Mitch Holtis being a part of the show. And so now for Dylan and Tim, Blake Cripps saying good Saturday afternoon. This is KVOE. Emporia, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Have a great Saturday.
AM 1400 KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Congressional Republicans.